Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890 92.5 KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Welcome, everyone, to Elder Care Radio, and thank you for being here. We are Elder Care Radio, your one-stop resource for all access to finding the help, whatever the help that is that you need. Please give our office a call, 435-477-6999, or find out more about us and the services that we can provide for you on our website at pathwayhospicecare.com.
We are excited to be here, and if you want to give us a call and give us some input or have some questions or would like some help, that telephone number, 435-477-6999, easiest number in southern Utah, 477 on the left and 6999 on the right.
And even if you don't know what help you're searching for, but you're feeling taxed in the world and feeling the pressures of age and illness falling down around you, perhaps it's trying to care for a loved one, reach out to us. Let's see if we can help. We have plenty of resources. There are resources for your various needs, and we can help put you in touch with the resources that you need.
Right, and that's true for anybody in southern Utah, St. George, you know, surrounding areas, Cedar. We're more than happy to help in any way that we can. So whatever it is, give us a call. We'll try and help. Today we were, this week, we've been, you know, kind of talking about some things, and one of those issues that one of the questions that we get often, and we've asked ourselves often enough, is how do we deal with dealing with all this loss? You know, when we are in a business that we know most of the time the end result is going to be somebody passing away, how do you deal with that? And we get that question often, and we've been surprised by, you know, our own experiences and how we get there. So,
but let me interject that we have to be realistic about things before we really get into the program and talk more about, you know, the nitty-gritty of issues and topics. But the truth is, we all come to this earth, and there's only a couple of things that we're guaranteed. What's that, Andy?
Death and taxes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And taxes usually come first.
Well, life comes first.
Yeah. And then taxes.
Yeah, right. Taxes come quickly at you. You're correct. But it's with that knowledge and understanding that I think that our entire life, from birth, we should really be focusing on life. And I think that that's true all the way through to even the difficulties and experiences and the trials and the issues. We're always told, and I think that it's important, to let go of the stresses and focus on those things that you can control and enjoy life. So really, the system and the program that has been set up through the expanded palliative care program of Medicare really is about helping you achieve a successful life experience. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to look at it that way. We have to look at all the good things we can experience and accomplish when we're focused on those things we can control, which is life.
You're absolutely right. But the death part of it is the part that we're going to be discussing today. And while before we were involved in this, you know, we had no expectation of ever being involved in hospice. And when we got involved, we had no intent other than to make sure that we made it a better experience for people than they'd had in the past. We didn't really consider the possibility of dealing with people passing in that. And I will tell you that we feel very blessed that we have never had tragic experiences that make that difficult. And that's hard to believe. But because of how we do this and because we're actively engaged in doing these things, we've had a lot of positive experiences, which make this much easier. We've had a lot of successes. We can explain to ourselves, you know, the logic of, well, you know, death is inevitable, right? But in that moment where it finally dawns on us that death is a reality, logic goes out the window, and then we deal with all the panic and all of the other emotions.
But the truth is, I'm not sure very, very few people embrace their mortality and condition, right? Very few people say, It does happen, but very few people say, I'm ready to die. Instead, I think it's important to say, I'm ready to live and focus on my very best life, recognizing that an end is inevitable, right? So do all those things that can help you live your best quality of life.
And as we focus and really amplify the living part, it does decrease the death part.
And statistically extend life, believe it or not.
It extends life. You know, when we're looking forward to the next day, it's much easier to get up in the morning and say, yes, I want to choose today to live. Right. When there's nothing to look forward to, then, you know, that's the time that people are saying, well, you know, why bother? And so that makes a big difference. So yes, right from the foundation of this, we want you to know that being focused on living is what we always focus on, and that's really what helps us get through this, is that we have had these experiences and opportunities. I was talking to one of our nurses this last week about this, you know, her first experience with somebody passing, and she was in a hospital environment, and when that happened, you know, she was there, and even though she was in the medical industry and, you know, this was expected and they teach this, it was still, you know, panic. Oh man, what could I have done? How do I fix this? What can be done? What made it more difficult for her, and this is, I think, a good part of it, was not only did she have to reconcile herself for her own thoughts, but she had family and friends there of that person that passed, and she had to manage that experience for them. And that's a hard thing to do in the last moment to get that, because everybody is beside themselves and you know, screaming, why? What do we do? How do we fix this?
Hospital settings make it very difficult,
right?
Because I've heard doctors say, not in my ER. You know, I mean, they will do anything to extend life even for an hour, which isn't necessarily the peaceful, ending or transitionary state. And that panic really does flow over into the family.
Right.
So a calm, serene setting where you are enjoying each other and saying your peaceful, loving goodbyes is a better setting.
It is a better setting. However, if all that's done in the last minute, it still
can't be controlled.
That's right. It is such a small benefit that it's almost negligible, right?
Right.
So yes, you could walk into a panicky situation and just say, well, I'm going to remain calm, and maybe that'll have an impact. But that doesn't do much. We've been very blessed and had the opportunity to see great change long before this moment, so that this moment was kept in perspective. And everybody who was involved had that opportunity to be aware of it, to be prepared for it, to anticipate it, and therefore make sure they have no regrets, they have no undone things. They've had those opportunities to work through it and to share and to show their love, and they also have those then memories of those experiences that they can rely upon in the last moment, instead of saying, oh, I wish I had, and that's going to be an important thing.
These are definitely some of the things that make it very different for us at Pathway. We really are focused on a peaceful, loving, calm life experience, one that is brought to you with compassion and care, but helping you navigate that very difficult time for not only the patient, but also your loved ones who are also traveling this road with you and trying to process this experience. And I think sometimes that's lost. I think sometimes the focus is so heavily weighted on the patient, and don't get me wrong, it should be, but the family is also experiencing grief and struggling with dealing with, how can I fix this? How can I deal with this? How is my life going to be when they're not here anymore?
And there are a myriad number of things that happen in our psyche under these circumstances. And when it all happens at once as just this impact, this collision, is really hard to manage. But from our position, when we're working with a family and having conversations, open conversations, and we're giving them information so that they can be looking forward and anticipating these steps so that they can process them one at a time, right? you know, as people decline. So sometimes you don't recognize those declines because you're right there with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so you don't notice those declines, even significant ones. But when we give somebody a chance to step back just a little bit, to have a broader view of the circumstances.
Time and opportunity.
Yeah, time and opportunity. And the information to say, oh, I see that that happened. So somebody's decided they don't want to eat anymore. And that's a natural process. I'm always amazed at how nature and God have mm-hmm. kind of structured this process that if the body is allowed to manage itself, it is amazingly effective at managing itself. The body realizes, look, I don't need more food because that's a long-term solution that I'm not going to deal with. I really want to reserve my resources, and that's the blood flow to process the food or anything else. I want to reserve that to do other things that are really more important for these last few days or last few moments of life. And so our bodies actually can make those decisions. We don't make them for anybody, but our bodies make that decision. We may stop drinking. We may stop eating. You may decide just to sleep. And all of those things can happen. But other processes within the body, and we don't want to become too specific, but it is just kind of amazing to see that. And it is cathartic for people when they're in that situation to be able to recognize that all this is a natural and reasonable process instead of imagining it somehow, you know, wrong.
And if we watch our loved ones or we watch ourselves and take deep contemplation of thought, you'll realize that you have to let the body be the guide. And when you let your body be the guide, it will actually bring peace to your soul, your mind, your heart, and your life. You will have the ability to process and to move forward and to accomplish those things that you want to accomplish instead of fighting all along the way and kicking against a mountain that you cannot just crash, right?
Yeah. Now, nobody can actually accurately predict a time frame.
Right.
Although there are a number of
indicators
that happen over a period of time that give us some sense of a progress. And we've got a little book that'll explain that, you know, so that you can read through it long before. And so when you see those things, you can say, okay, I see that we're actually getting a look into the future instead of just dealing with the immediate past. We get to look forward and say, okay, so if that happens, then I kind of know where I'm at, and we get to deal with the myriad of other emotions that we have one at a time in a reasonable order, especially important while that person is still with us and present,
right.
Instead of just wishing that we had that last opportunity. So being able to go through that process is such an empowering event and so incredibly useful for people that being there with them has always been a positive for us. We've had that opportunity to share. Not that there aren't sad times and that there isn't tears, but we know those tears are softened. Those events are not as tragic. They're real and they are important, but they're not just tragic and horrid because we've had that opportunity to process through it.
Meaningful intent, I'd say, is what we try and provide, a meaningful intent to life. We have a story of a beautiful, powerful woman who really felt in control of everything in her life. She was very organized and methodical about everything that she did.
Yeah, let me say that this couple...
Yes.
Were so active, you know, at their age, they were involved in a lot of things. They had something going probably every night.
Good point. It was both of them.
They were. But then he declined.
And so she stepped up.
And she stepped up, said, man, I'm going to take care of this. And she did for a long time. And she was introduced to us and we had a conversation with her. And then she said, yeah, I'm going to do fine.
And it was actually her son that was living in California that didn't get to see his dad very often, had come for a visit. And couldn't believe what his mom was able to accomplish daily because she was just absolutely very methodical and had everything planned out. The schedule was very planned out. But they were part of the Elks Lodge. They were part of a bowling team. They were very involved in volunteering with senior games, and I mean just very, very active in their life and in the community. And when he was no longer able to independently navigate the schedule, she picked up and did it all for him, which made it very hard for her to recognize the signs and symptoms that were coming. So when the son visited from California, he could notice some things that were actually going to potentially cause risk of harm for him and his mom, because she had taken on so much that really it wasn't a safe environment to her, for her to be navigating. One quick example, she did not recognize, because she slowly eased into it, how her husband was really no longer able to think clearly for himself. So taking him to grocery stores was really probably not as safe as the son would like it to be. Trying to navigate steps, or being left at a table when she was, you know, bowling, or busy keeping count or tabs at senior games. He was just noticing, the son was noticing, that the mom didn't notice the limitations that the father was acquiring. Is that a nice way to say
it? Yeah.
Okay.
And so she had been taking him almost everywhere with him, or taking him everywhere with her. And this was putting both of them at risk, because she was a spunky lady, but she was a small lady.
And he was very large.
Yeah, and he was a pretty good-sized guy. And she wanted him to rely upon her, and he did more than probably was safe. So we had a conversation. She said, no, I got this. And then we had another conversation. And we had another conversation, and we just kept trying to explain that it was not our goal to replace her in anything. She was still in control of everything. We just wanted to be available as a resource to help her accomplish things a little better, and she finally agreed to do it.
Well, in this situation, fortunately, the son was very, very involved in supporting and trying to explain his desire for his mom to accept the resources and help. And that does make a huge difference. Making decisions is very, very, you know, or a lot easier. How about that? A lot easier when you have somebody else to support you in your decision. It's difficult to make a decision all on your own. I know raising children, it's easier when there's two people that see eye to eye to make decisions. You don't feel like you're making those really big decisions all on your own. And this was a really big decision for her, so it was helpful to have the son supporting her through that.
But it was interesting when she finally said, okay, you can do some things. She was very limiting in what she allowed us to do. She said, well, no, I don't want any of that. I'll let you do just this one thing. And so we did, and we built kind of a rapport, and she started to realize, okay, so that was a good result of that decision. Yeah. I can do more of that, and I can do more. And pretty soon we are
very much a part of her life.
Yeah, she's a great lady, and he was a wonderful man, and we had great experiences with him also. But when that time happened, while it was difficult, because we had had opportunity to have conversations and had discussed these declines, and we are fairly open and blunt, I guess, a little bit about, yes, there is going to be an end. We're not trying to sugarcoat that. We're not trying to say that we're going to come in and save the day. You know, we are not heroes. And this is one of the things I was thinking about throughout this, as I was planning this, was we're not heroes in this. We're just coming in and being helpful, you know, just neighborly helpful. And those are great experiences. If you've ever done that, if you've ever just stepped up and helped somebody, you know, in a little bit of difficulty, that's the part of this that we get to take away without any problem. So that was just one of those times specifically where we could see that it was much better. Her outcome was significantly better because she wasn't doing it alone, because she was a little more prepared, because she had some support, and she didn't feel like she was completely isolated in this event.
And I remember one time when we were visiting, she very clearly said, I'm going to say the things I want to say to him now, long before the time is near. And in my mind, I thought, I don't think you recognize, you know, where life and the signs and signals that his body's, the indication that his body was trying to give her. But how grateful I was that she was willing then to take that opportunity to say the things that she wanted to say to him and to love him and to spend time with him, just being his sweet little wife. And really, I remember her sharing a story where she laid down next to him in the bed and he had Alzheimer's and didn't understand everything that she was saying to him. But she was really able to get off of her chest and share with him all the things she wanted to say and thank him for being such a wonderful husband and father and for fulfilling her life and giving her all the things that she could ever hope for and dream for, so that at the point when the end did come, it made life just so much easier for her to say, until we meet again.
Right. And because she went through that process and it was a warm, comfortable, loving situation, not, you know, not crying and anything, I am sure that's going to be part of his highlight reel in heaven. You know, just being able to, at that point, to hear those words and that expression of love, it was just great. So for people that we work with, we make it much easier. But for ourselves, there are some other advantages. Not only do we make it easier for people, but we help them through some of these hard times, which makes it better for us, and we are able to generate some good memories, some great experiences that help us deal with it long term.
There have been a couple of times we've shared experiences on the show, and then Andy shares his experience, and we've asked him if he would share his experience with us.
Well, my mom passed away a little over 2 years ago. It was right in the midst of COVID mania, right? And had she gone into the hospital toward the end, they wouldn't have let us see her. And so my mom made the choice that she was not going to go to the hospital. She knew she was, you know, was getting close, and she wanted to stay home. And so, and I have no idea what hospice company they used, but to me, there were some things that were lacking a little bit and disappointing. The experience was interesting because we as a family, my dad, of course, still lived with her, and they were managing, but we had no idea as family members how serious it had gotten. My mom used to joke, I mean, even a year ago, 5 years before that, she would say, I'm going to die soon. And we were all like, yeah, whatever, Mom. We didn't believe it. And so when she was really serious, like, it's getting close, we didn't really quite understand. And so to hear you guys talk about this son getting involved was important. It actually took my dad asking us to come help. And honestly, I think, and we are short on time, we got about less than 2 minutes left, but I honestly think had we realized the seriousness of the situation, we would have gotten more involved. And I will say this too, very disappointing to me, we never, as family, my dad spoke with the hospice company they used, we never said a single word to them. We didn't know any of them. And
that's really the difference between the Medicare's expanded palliative care program. And it was after, while you were in the midst of all of this, that we were introducing ourselves to you.
Right.
And it was later that you said, gosh, I wish I would have known.
I wish you guys had been there. Yeah.
I wish I would have known that was available. And I think the point is, people don't know what they don't know. They don't know what's really out there. The resources that really can bring not only a higher quality of life, but a better life experience. When you know that there's help and resources there available to reduce some of your stresses and to make your life easier, to help you have the resources in your home to help you experience life instead of focusing solely on the struggles of an illness.
Now, if you are struggling with somebody's passing and didn't have those great opportunities, please give us a call. Our telephone number, 435-477-6999. We'd like to talk to you, see if there's anything that we can do to help or find help for you, because dealing with passing of others is a difficult process, and you shouldn't do it alone. So be willing to allow us to help.
Thank you for sharing your story, Andy, and thank you, everyone, for being here. We love sharing our stories with you. Give our office a call. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.